them a little bit more.
Great. Let's take check out some more music by Terrence Brewer. This time, we're going to go to Volume 2 from The Calling. And this time, the group features Eric Drake and Will Blades and Derek Phillips. So let's check it out. And I think those gentlemen will be joining you on the first, too.
Yeah, actually, the Pearl Show is going to be pretty really interesting, actually, in a one-set period. I'm actually going to play music from Volume 1, mm-hmm. bring Eric on, do some things from Volume 1, and then bring Will on to play some things. So it's going to, you know,
cool.
You come out to the set, you're going to hear a lot of both albums, so with the players that are on their albums, so
great.
It'll be fun.
Let's take a listen to the lead cut. This one's called Lately with our guest, Terrence Brewer, here on KCSM. I'm Chris Cortez.
Thank you.
That's music by our guest in studio, guitarist and composer Terrence Brewer on the Bay Area's Jazz Station. KCSM, at this time taken from Volume 2, The Calling. Eric Drake, the saxophonist, and Will Blades, heard on Hammond B3 organ, The Real Deal, and drummer Derek Phillips on that one, and a piece that Terrence composed entitled Lately. In fact, you wrote all the music on these two volumes.
Yeah, there's I think it's 17 total tracks on there, and I actually had more, but figured I should pare it down and keep it somewhat tight, and I wanted to keep a certain kind of a focus going on. But yeah, every single one on there is a composition composed and arranged by me. So, mm-hmm.
How much experience do you have with production and going into the studio and putting things out?
A little bit. I mean, I've done a few recordings. I actually did a couple different things with a few vocalists. Part of the reason I discovered the studio, we recorded at DKS Productions in Hayward, and I was on a recording last year with the vocalist Michelle Lane, and she recorded there. And, you know, immediately Don Turney, who runs the studio, I just, you know, really had a good connection with him, and I knew the studio would be great for doing small group jazz recordings. So and that was a great experience for me. And done some things in the studio sort of here and there over the years, but and it's always a new and different experience every time you go in. So
absolutely. Well, the reason I ask is because you sound so relaxed, and you know you're playing just coming through on the recording.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and part of it is that all the guys on the record, you know, I know very well, and they're all really cool, really mellow guys. None of that, you know, high-strung musician thing. They're just really laid-back guys, easy to work with. And Don, who runs the studio, I mean, it's like, you know, you feel like you're in your living room recording, basically. And so it makes it a very, very comfortable, mm-hmm. relaxed environment to record in. So, and all the guys, yeah. You know, really felt that way. So it was easy to get a good, relaxed sound. So
yeah. Well, I can see the contrast between the two volumes, you know. I mean, you have the Hammond B3 organ, which definitely gives it a different flavor,
sure,
altogether, but it also has more of a funky edge to it.
Yeah, it does. It, you know, my focus was in going into the process for Volume 2, into that project, you know, knowing that I was going to use Will, mm-hmm. and Eric Drake, who's a really, really great tenor player, and Derek on drums, you know, knowing that I had the potential for doing some stuff that had a little more funk to it, you know, and mm-hmm. a little bit more of a backbeat, you know, was a nice plus for me. So I took that advantage and kind of tried to run with it. And Will's such a great bluesy organ player that I was able to do some, you know, explore some of the tunes that I wrote that mm-hmm. had a little bit more of that feeling,
yes,
and that vibe to them. So
yeah, well, you mentioned earlier, Terrence, that your influences early on were Charlie Parker,
sure.
Miles Davis, John Coltrane. Were there any guitarists in that fold that you'd gravitate towards?
Yeah, I mean, as a guitarist, I definitely, you know, like a lot of guys, I mean, Wes was, you know, as far as the sort of bebop thing,
Wes Montgomery
was it for me in a lot of ways. But I was extremely, you know, inspired by Kenny Burrell and Grant Green. I actually get a lot of sort of Grant Green comparisons sometimes, which I think mm-hmm. is always interesting. But
is it because of the single notes that
yeah,
you play?
Yeah, the phrasing and that style sometimes. But I do a lot of solo guitar shows, a lot of solo guitar shows actually. and one of my, you know, some of my biggest influences were, you know, Joe Pass and Howard Alden and guys like that, who, and George Van Epps, who did a lot of solo guitar work. So I've really worked on that. I'm actually contemplating doing a solo guitar album next year, so I'm mm-hmm. sort of running that back and forth in my head. But yeah, those guys really, really, you know, inspired me. And then I had the pleasure early on, you know, to study with Charlie Hunter when he was still here living in Berkeley. So, you know, Charlie's music was a huge influence to me as a guitar player. And I'm also a fingerstyle player like him, so it was nice to, you know, have that influence as a guitarist and a fingerstyle guitarist, and mm-hmm. and the sounds that he was cultivating, you know, in the mid and late 90s. I mean, everyone was into that thing, so I got a chance to see a lot of that right up close, so it was great.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the fingerstyle as
sure.
compared to, I guess, a pick style?
Yeah. I mean, when I was in college, I studied classical guitar, so I, you know, did the legitimate, you know, kind of grew the fingernails out and did that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And actually, while I was at Los Manos, I had the chance to study with Tom Patitucci, who's the brother of John Patitucci, and a great, great classical guitar player. So, you know, that helped to develop the fingerstyle technique. And then studying with Charlie, just enhanced it. And I've had some great opportunities. Actually, I studied with Duck Baker, who's, you know, world-renowned fingerstyle guitar player. So I got to a certain point in my early 20s where I never went back to the pick. You know,
Is that right?
I still play with a pick every once in a while. I can still do it. And
right.
Chops are pretty good with a pick, but, you know, I've been a fingerstyle player exclusively for almost 10 years now. So
So when you apply that to the electric guitar,
sure,
it has a different, does it give you a different timbre?
It definitely gives you a different timbre, and there's different ways to do it. You know, some guys do a combination of like the fingertip and the fingernail, so they have longer fingernails, but I actually cut my fingernails down because I can't, it's a little bright sound, a little bit too much of a bright sound for me. So I play exclusively with the fingertips. They're nice and calloused from all these years. But, you know, my thing was that as soon as I really got into playing fingerstyle, I felt like I had a greater connection with the instrument. I actually originally started out as a sax player and played sax in, you know, elementary and junior high and high school. And to me, when I started playing fingerstyle on the guitar, it was sort of that connection that a horn player gets when you blow into an instrument and you push down a button and it creates a sound.
Yeah.
You know, I strike the string with my finger and the connection is there. I felt a little disconnected with a pick. And so as soon as I went into fingerstyle exclusively, I just felt really sort of at one with the instrument, you know.
Right. It would just resonate throughout.
Yeah, you can feel it. You know, you can feel everything you're doing, obviously. It's right there, so...
Yeah. I've talked to drummers about that, too, and some drummers will play without shoes.
Yeah, you know, sure.
Just to get a different feeling and to connect with the skin.
It is a different feeling. It's interesting because a lot of guys over the years go to some form of fingerstyle, you know, and it's always very interesting to me that, you know, that happens. Because you can play just as fast and get just as much of an articulation, so you just have to work on it, but it's a lot of fun.
Cool. And you don't have to... look for picks.
You don't drop your, you do not drop your pick on the stage floor when you play fingerstyle.
I know some people that are very dependent on their picks, and if they lose their one favorite pick, it's like, it's over.
Well, that's a whole, as guitar players know too, that's a whole other world, looking for the right pick, the right thickness, the right texture. And it can take you a very, very long time. And then when a company stops producing your favorite pick,
c'est
la vie.
It's over. I'm impressed, you know, because I finally got a closer look at some of the strings on some jazz guitars. Those are some thick strings.
Yeah, you
like
know,
pipes.
I was just having this conversation with someone yesterday because on Saturday I had a rehearsal and I had did a slight slicing accident on my finger.
Whoops.
Me and a knife and a bagel got into
Ouch.
A little bit of a fight. So, but it's interesting because I was talking to Ravi at the rehearsal about that.
Avkarian? Uh-huh.
Yeah, Avkarian. And, you know, I was telling him how I play these huge, like, monster thick strings. So that doesn't really help the fact that I have this nice little cut on my finger. So.
Right.
And then I played a gig on my Fender Telecaster, which you know, has these really, really light gauge strings on. I thought maybe I need to play this for a little while. So, the heavy strings definitely build up the strength in the hands.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah. I've heard the saying, "I play it till it hurts."
Literally.
Our guest in studio is Terrence Brewer. I'm Chris Cortez. It's Midday Jazz. Don't forget, Terrence is in concert. On June 1st, that's the CD release party over at Jazz at Pearls. But you've got some prior events to that, some regular gigs.
I've got a couple really nice showcase things coming up, and then I have some steady things. This Thursday, the 25th, I'm going to be over at Anna's Jazz Island in Berkeley, and that'll be with a quintet with Ravi Avkarian and Micah McLean, Ben Stolaro and Eric Drake, and we'll be doing stuff off of both records.
Great.
And that's at 8 o'clock, so that's on Thursday at Anna's. And then this Sunday, I'll be up in Sonoma. It's part of the Sonoma Jazz Festival and Sonoma Wine and Concert Series.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so we'll be up there at the Plaza Bistro, which is on 1st Street, 420 1st Street in downtown. So, right. And that'll be with Will Blades and Michael McLean on drums. So people who dig that sound will really get a chance to hear us.
Cool. A couple of warm-up shows before the big CD release
party. Yeah, exactly.
We're going to go back to volume number one this time. Why don't you set up this tune for us? And this one's called Catnap.
Yeah, this is a tune that I wrote several years ago for my wife, Kathy, and, you know, a very special tune to me, and as it turns out, kind of a favorite. You know, the guys in the band really dig it, and KCSM's been playing it pretty regularly, which is nice. So, you know, it was a tune that I wrote when we first met, and, you know, was very inspired to write it. So it's a ballad that I as soon as I wrote it, I knew it was going to be one that I played very often. So she was quite the inspiration for that tune. So,
all right, let's take a listen to Catnap on the Bay Area's Jazz Station KCSM with our guest Terrence Brewer.